Good morning and welcome. It is 6:08, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Good morning and welcome to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Election Day results. It is a happy hump day, Trump Day. Not everybody that Trump supported, though, won. However, we'll dig into that. Well, the top story is really election results. And Byron Donalds, looks like he ran away with it. And he is going to be your candidate on the Republican side for governor. Face off against David Jolly, former Republican. And Jolly got 61% of the vote. But I've got to tell you, I didn't hear about any of the other candidates, not one iota.
No.
On the Republican side, Jay Collins gave it a good shot, getting 25% of the vote. Throw that fish back. He got 10%, a little over 10%. And I didn't think he'd finish ahead of Renner. But no. Paul Renner, really, I guess it was true that he didn't have the name recognition that he was trying,
right.
Trying to get. So he had 8.6%. Bobby Williams, 4.1. Rachel Rodriguez, 1.6. So Byron Donalds, he got the Trump endorsement, Kat Kamik endorsement, Gun Owners of America endorsement, a lot. He had a lot of endorsements. I'll just tell you right now, the major issue, there's two issues. No, really, there's one major issue with Byron for me.
Mm-hmm.
He always was a strong candidate.
Oh, yeah.
He is articulate. Yeah. He knows the the topics and the things we care about that resonates with the Florida voters. I wished he would have debated.
Yeah, I get that.
There's no reason for him to fear a debate because he possesses those skills. He carries himself very well.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he would have done very well in a debate. I think the closest somebody could have come to in a debate with him would have been Paul Renner.
No doubt. Yeah.
But, you know, Byron Donalds has the better 2A record.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't vote for the Stoneman Douglas act of buffoonery.
Right.
So, I think he's going to do a great job. He's got the golden touch of Donald Trump and others. And, we'll see moving forward how that goes. And I would guess that there's got to be a political place that Jay Collins will eventually find.
You would certainly hope so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he definitely gets the character vote, in my book there. So
Green Beret, the whole bit, yeah.
And hopefully, in the fall, David Jolly's not, but we can't look past that. You can't say, well, mm-hmm. Look, we've got a 1.5 million voter, registered Republican voter advantage.
But what makes the difference?
What's that?
What makes the difference?
What's the difference is who shows up.
Exactly.
And that's it. That is a big deal. It is interesting to look that Jolly didn't really have to split a lot of the vote with others, and he got 761,000, whereas Byron Donalds had to actually split really over half the votes between the other candidates, and he still ended up with 810,000. So that from that perspective, things are looking good.
As long as people get out of
you. You can't get complacent. You can't go, yeah, we got it. No.
Uh-uh.
You show up, and then we win, and then we all go, we got it together. We made it happen. Ashley Moody won pretty convincingly. I don't think that was a big, 80% of the vote.
She's awesome.
But here's the interesting one. Angie Nixon on the Democrat side.
Oh, yeah.
So that's who Ashley Moody will face for United States Senate seat, which Moody already has, but by appointment. Angie Nixon, she's pretty left.
Calling her kind of a Democrat socialist. I mean, she was doing the, free Medicare for everybody, free. It was a handout election.
It was one of vote me for class president, free pizza on Fridays.
Yes.
Is the example I use. But Alex Vindman, I thought they poured money into that race.
Oh, a lot of money.
The money was on Vindman's side.
A lot of money.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one where money didn't make a difference. Here on a much more local level where money didn't make a difference was Marshall Rawson.
Oh, yeah.
Beat Chase Brannon.
Mm-hmm.
And, Brannon had the money.
Right.
But I got to tell you, I drive through the district. I don't vote in that district.
Right.
But I drive through there. And I told Marshall Rawson, we had him on the air a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, your signs are everywhere. And I didn't see any, honestly, I don't recall seeing any Brannon signs at all.
Yeah.
And it's like that kind of marketing, that's part of the total packaging that I think makes a difference.
Yeah, and that ground level enthusiasm.
Yeah, he had some grassroots support, Marshall Rawson did. You know, it is, you look to some people that you feel like are these sort of benchmarks in the community.
Right.
Maybe you're Facebook friends with them, things like that. And you see, oh, okay, well, these people, I know they pay attention. I know where they stand for the most part politically.
Uh-huh.
And Rawson had a lot of support.
Now, you look at the Republican machine.
Yes.
He did not have any of that.
No.
In the sense. Was it Brandon? I mean, he had a list of all, like, but again, his dad's in Tallahassee. You got the machine going for him. But you're right. There was just no enthusiasm. You can name all the political figures that are backing you and that are endorsing you. But if the guy on the street's going, I don't think so. That's what matters.
If putting in hard work counts, Marshall Rawson put in the hard work. He went everywhere. He did everything he could. He did everything you could do as a candidate without having a lot of money.
Right. And I remember early on, I went to one of the very first things. I got invited to one of his first little, you know, community things. And somebody who was a big supporter goes, I don't think he's got a chance, but I like what he has to stand for. And here he is. He wins.
I said that about Marco Rubio way back in the day when I met him in the living room in Gainesville. I said that about Ted Yoho.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I like this guy. Strong handshake.
But the machine wasn't behind
him. Yeah, I don't think he – how can he? How can he beat these other players that are entrenched or whatever?
And looky there.
But he did. So, yeah, you never know. Jimmy Patronis won convincingly, and that is U.S. House District 1. So that was and he's Patronis has already had some positions of power. He's going to continue to be a player, shall we say, in the Republican, and I mean that in a good way, not like playa.
Yeah, right.
But we'll get to the Corey story later.
Whoa! Oh, wow, so early, even yes.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll go. I'm trying to go through. You know, Kat didn't have anybody facing her,
right?
So she's the Republican candidate incumbent. Aaron Bean, same thing in his district. John Rutherford won convincingly, and that's District 5, a primary. And Randy Fine, that was kind of an interesting one there.
Yes.
What's going to happen to his seat? Because I believe that it is Donald's is going to ask him if he hasn't already. I believe he has.
Right.
Asked him to be lieutenant governor should he win. Mm-hmm. So that I don't know what they'll do with that. I guess they'll have to make an appointment, maybe a special election. So
we'll
lots
out.
Of results, lots of things to talk about. No really hardcore kind of straightforward pattern that you see.
Right. That anything totally unexpected, yeah.
Some Trump picks won, some didn't.
Yep.
Republican machinery, some didn't.
Yeah.
We'll go through it all. Congresswoman Kat Kamick is going to join us at 8:05. We look forward to a conversation with her coming up. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Six 20 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy Hump Day. Happy Trump Day. Frank Beard, veteran, ZZ Top, the band, has passed away at the age of 77. It was easy to remember his name. He was the guy in the band that didn't have a beard. And yes, he will be missed. They put out some great music. ZZ Top, no doubt about it. This can tell you how old you are. 77.
Yeah.
That's too early.
Oh yeah.
When you're 20 years old, you go, it's a decent. Yeah, it's a pretty good long life. Yeah, no, it's not. 77. You're a baby. So yeah. Rest in peace, Frank Beard of ZZ Top fame. Great drummer. We've got results. Yeah, in case you didn't hear the the first segment, I mean, you know, the biggest thing is Byron Donalds won They got about 50% of the vote. Coming in second, Jay Collins gave it a good shot with about 25% of the vote. If it was just the two in the race, it would have been very, very tight. And in fact, Jay possibly mathematically could have won. That's assuming he got every single other vote than what Donald's got. And but it is interesting that that field, you wonder if it kind of got watered down, or you just wonder if, you know, it was just too much. Trump came out way early, giving Donald's, you know, his thumbs up, and then came out again. And then, you know, a bunch of other people.
Right.
He had that working to his advantage. Mm-hmm.
I still see Fishback. Maybe I can't use the word outlier, but he had a certain demographic that I think he pulled from everybody else.
Yeah, he was interesting as a candidate, but I got to tell you, it never really resonated much with me. I didn't go very in depth, honestly. I can't tell you exactly why. I guess I was Donald or Collins, and then, you know, my third would have been Renner, personally.
I think with Fishback, he says the right things for a little while. But then when I would listen long enough, he kind of falls off. Are you going? What? That was weird kind of thing. The weird press conference thing he did. You know, taking shots at Donald's with
nothing, right?
And then because it was going nowhere. But then saying, but I'm never going to bring this up again in the campaign. What? Yeah, but you're doing it right now. It's on social media.
And it was getting toward the end of the campaign. It's you don't have a chance to bring it up again.
So that does not – he just did not resonate with me. Now, a lot of the young people like him. And again, he will say the right things at that 80% mark, and then he would just kind of go out there somewhere for me.
Really, unlike other elections of the past, there is such a chasm, such a huge divide between Republicans and Democrats. This is one where, you know, the devil you know is so much better than the devil that scares the heck out of you.
Yeah.
And that whole, the fact that the Democrats have embraced really their socialist candidates, it really embraced them, allowed them into the tent, and they're going to be exterminated by them. The Democrat socialists will take over the party. They already have way, way too much power. You would think in some, you know, small areas of the country, you could understand really deep, deep blue states where they might, you know, be a factor. Mm-hmm. It's much broader than that. It's much wider than that. It is something. It is something. It's a movement. And people need to take it very seriously. So even if your candidate didn't win, but you vote, you know, Republican, you still need to show up no matter what in the fall. And really, my only thing is you don't want the Democrats to gain power really in any area.
No.
And my conversation with both of them is very simple. Congratulations. Let's go beat David Jolly in November.
There you go. That's
what it takes. Byron Donalds, and he's going to be, I predict, you know, the next governor of the great state of Florida. And then when he's termed out, it will be Congresswoman Kat Kamick.
Oh, okay. That's
your
prediction?
You think if you follow, look, he served in Florida, Byron Donalds did. So he's got that some slight advantage.
Right.
But Kat Kamick serving in Congress now and also getting on, you know, national TV.
All the time.
It does make a difference for name recognition. Mm-hmm. And Byron Donalds, that to me I think was huge.
He's on Fox quite a bit.
And so is Congresswoman Kamick.
Yep.
And I think, you know, of course, I'm looking way far ahead, but we're looking at, and she's very young. She's got a long, you know, career ahead of her if she chooses to continue on that path. But Byron Donalds, he is the man of the hour, and we're all going to get behind him.
Absolutely.
We've got to.
Can't have Jolly. No.
Florida's in such a great position. Would you really want to do something that would radically change things here. Now, is it perfect? Is everybody happy? No, of course it's not perfect. There's always work to be done. But, man, really, you take a look at other states, Florida is literally kicking butt, man, in so many different areas.
Well, we were even almost joking about it before the national news came on. What's the top story? It was Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows you at the national level how important Florida is in the country.
With voting precincts reporting in, Marion County residents have reelected at least one school board incumbent and elected two new Marion County commissioners. Here's the latest that I could find, the results for Republican voters. Mike Crimmie won the District 2 seat of the Marion County School Board. We had him on the air. We also had Matt Creedle on.
Right.
And, but Crimmie, he came out ahead. District 4, Jeff Bairstow, he won that one. And local races for Marion County Board of County Commissioners, you had all Republican candidates. So basically, if you won, you won those positions. So you've got that. I'm looking through the list here. Incumbents, Eric Cummings, District 3. Sarah James, District 5. We're talking about school board. Sarah James, I believe, she's going to have to go into a runoff. And but Cummings won his seat by attaining the majority there. So District 4, Mike Mills and Bridget Smith got more votes than Jeff Brewer and Buddy Wyckoff. Although Mills won the top number of votes, he also did not attain a majority. He and Smith will face off for a runoff. So, yeah, some things aren't straightforward and as simple as they could be.
Yeah.
You would just win a simple majority. but, yeah, we'll keep an eye on all of these and present this information throughout the morning. Little follow-up on a story from Penn State. Look, that's a great school. But another little blemish looks like it's coming their way, as in cocaine dealers. Yep. Allegedly. Yeah, allegedly, all right.
All right.
628 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Happy Hump Day, happy Trump Day, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Election results on a happy hump day, Trump day. That leads your top stories with Byron Donalds winning. You've got Moody winning. She has to take on Nixon now. Of course, Byron Donalds will take on David Jolly. Corey Mills out. Randy Fine wins. Marshall Rawson locally beats Chase Brannon. That would be, I think, considered somewhat of an upset for Florida House District 10.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just wondering what the turnout was like. According to Florida Trib, Florida Republicans cast more than 50% of the ballots in the state's primary elections. And so the election day turnout yesterday was very, very good. Democrats still led turnout in several large counties, like Miami-Dade, which has become more competitive in recent election cycles, with a slight edge in Duval, which had an at-large city council race on the ballot that a Democrat won outright on Tuesday night. So, you know, voter turnout was good. I'm looking for like a percentage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they haven't broken down, apparently, those numbers quite yet. Florida residents don't historically turn out in droves for primaries, with an average of 24% of voters casting ballots in the in these races since 2000. And in the last gubernatorial race in 2022, 26% of voters showed up. So it'll be interesting to measure it against that. Once again, it is a primary, and you don't get the turnout that you do for a general, obviously. But, I'm gonna try to find more of a breakdown of these numbers, because I thought it would be strong for a primary.
Mm-hmm.
Anecdotally, everybody that I talked to, there weren't really long lines.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Now, I do have a Facebook friend, I think he's a common friend of ours, Mitchell, who said something about the power going out that was that at the Millhopper in Gainesville, which is a pretty big, a busy precinct.
Yeah. Is now, was it power or was it the machines not working?
I think it was both.
Oh, okay.
I think they were both. And again, it could have been two different isolated incidents at different places. We'll try to piece that together.
It was, I was actually a little concerned because it's our neighborhood, you know, location. I thought, well, because we were going in literally a few minutes before noon. I'm like, oh, no, is it going to be all the people, you know, getting off for lunch? Walked right in, no big deal, no line, no nothing.
Yeah, so, I had the same experience in Clay County. It was, they were very organized and friendly and ready to go, and I didn't have to wait at all, and it took me all of, I don't know, 6 minutes maybe. So, yeah, it's... It's not that difficult, and if you're a registered voter coming up in the fall, it's going to be – I can't stress it enough, and I don't want to sound like a broken record because I know you're hearing it from all corners, but really, we got to get together. We're fighting something that – well, you know, I'll give you an example, okay? Let's simplify things. Isn't that the best thing to do politically when you can?
Keep it simple.
Who's the party that actually supports human trafficking? You say nobody supports human trafficking, Bob. It's horrendous. It's outrageous. It's awful. There's few things in the world that are worse than human trafficking, right? Right? Do we all agree? Do we all agree? No, we don't. Democrats vote for candidates that have allowed our borders to be wide open under Joe Biden.
Yep.
We are paying the price. We'll continue to pay the price. We see all the residual stuff. Most of us, fortunately, may not be impacted by it totally directly, thank God. But there are human beings that are suffering as a result. When you open the borders, you open it wide open to human trafficking as well.
Yep.
Now, how is that a good thing in any way, shape, or form? It absolutely is not. Yet, the Democrat candidates sit on their hands and allow the open borders to continue. And most of them are very supportive of open borders to this day.
But how can they act like they don't know that it's a, that there's the connection? How do they do that? I mean, with a straight face. They know better.
Well, and the other side effect of open borders is... all the fentanyl that came through.
Oh, yeah.
Killing people. Literally killing 100,000 Americans between the ages of 18 and 49. Mm-hmm. And for the last, for all 4 years that Biden was in office, basically.
The biggest drug
killing
dealer
American.
We had. Yeah.
If it was Republicans in charge, I'm telling you, Democrats and the liberally biased media would be completely outraged by that. How can you let good Americans die, you know, from fentanyl poisoning?
Yeah.
A human trafficking and child exploitation crackdown during the FIFA World Cup in North Texas resulted in numerous arrests and potential victims being identified or rescued. A multi-agency crackdown dubbed Operation Red Card saw 56 arrests, with 10 of those suspects being accused of trying to meet minors for sex. And that's what happens.
Wow.
So there's money in it. They bring in these, you know, kids from various countries south of the border in most cases. They take advantage of them. They hold them in human slavery. They make prostitutes out of them. It's horrendous. Now, Democrats, if you ask them, are they supportive? They go, no, human trafficking is terrible. It's bad. But they won't do anything about it. So you are part of the problem. How would you like it if your kids were trafficked? Oh, no, they would hate that, right? They don't give a darn.
No.
They don't. If they did, they would do something about it. Or politically, they just see it more advantageous to go along with the rest of the Democrats. That's just sick. That's just grotesque.
But these are the people who on one side of the coin, always want to give you the, well, it's about the children. Yet they are the pro-abortion, pro-open border, pro-trafficking.
Pro-drag.
Yeah. They are everything that's bad for children.
Look, the bottom line is the Democrat Party in general, because they're being led by these radicals now, they're part of a larger picture, which is one of the ways in which you destroy the American way of life is you go after the family. You destroy the family in any way, shape, or form that you can. That's not a secret anymore. Now, they don't come out and say that. They say a lot of things now. They're outrageous. Let's abolish ICE. Let's abolish the police. Let's abolish the Senate. Yeah. Outrageous stuff. Folks, in the fall, it's a big one. The biggest election of our lifetime. Can't even... It's true.
Oh, yeah. It is.
But and it just keeps getting more and more important. All right. Stay buckled in, my friends. We got plenty more to talk about coming up. It is 6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And one of the young men who was running away, Penn State, cocaine charges, turned himself in. Details on that coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. It's going to be another great day in paradise, my friends. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 6:50, 10 minutes till 7 o'clock on a happy hump day, Trump day, my friends, with a lot of election results. Also a reminder, you know, as nice and calm as it's been, we are in hurricane season, and we always want to keep our heads on a swivel and be prepared. We were there for you then. We're here for you now. Sky Storm Watch, thanks to Area Rugmasters, Radiant Credit Union, and Best Restoration, the masters of disasters. I am very happy to report to you, tropical cyclone activity is not expected during the next 7 days. So it is clear, it is smooth, it is good. So enjoy. Could we use a little break from the unbearable heat? Sure. If I had any control over that, I'd turn the thermostat down for all of us.
Thank
but
you.
Unfortunately, I don't.
Thank you. We appreciate the thought. I got yard work needs done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm trying to look out for everybody, but you know, as powerful as I am and the deacon of knowledge, I still haven't got one of those weather machines yet.
Yeah.
I ordered one.
From
China? On Temu.
Oh, you see? So, it's in the mail, Bob. It's in the mail.
It does change the weather. It's called a dehumidifier.
Oh.
Yeah. Fancy. It's just a joke. I didn't really order one.
Yeah.
They do work well, though.
Yes, they do.
If you do need one. Election results. Yep. We'll get to it. But first, the alleged ringleader, the top lion of the Nittany Lion cocaine company. Penn State cocaine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why you send your kids to college.
Yeah, not so much.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Ritalin and Adderall and stuff like that. Naughty. Uh-huh. But the cocaine, that's over the top. And it's very, very much illegal. Yeah, they busted a distribution ring. And they say this was not, you know, like just a bunch of kids, you know, giving out drugs or buying, you know, selling drugs to their friends. It was growing larger than that.
So those are like smart kids with a real entrepreneurial spirit, shall we say.
Yeah, but okay. But somewhat of a criminal mind.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Attorney General Sunday announced that Agostino Abatello, 24, from Westbury, New York, turned himself in. That happened yesterday morning. Arraigned by a judge on numerous felonies, was denied bail after the attorney general said he failed to appear for a scheduled arraignment on Monday. Abatello is among 13 other men who were charged with offenses in the case. He and his family live in a shocker affluent Westbury Village community on Long Island. A man who identified himself as Abatello's father, Mario, briefly spoke with reporters. I don't know what's the matter with him, my boy, huh? I taught him a better than that, huh? Come here. And
that's
he started slapping the kid around.
An actual actuality
here. I know that. I don't know if he's representing more than one, but I know a very high-powered attorney has already been retained.
Shocking.
As I predicted on this. You know, it is. It's a quandary. It's like you're old enough to know better. You're smart enough to know better.
Uh-huh.
You used your brain power for nefarious reasons. You need to be punished and penalized for that. You have had an advantageous life. It's not like you were living in abstract poverty and, you know, needed to steal for your basic human needs.
No.
And so, but the other side of the coin is these are young people.
Right.
Do you want to put a permanent mark on them forever? Yeah, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, spoiled brats, you definitely want to punish them. You want to bring them back down to earth and say, you cannot behave in this way. And you got caught. Now you got to pay the price. That is a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
If you want to go to, like, you know, get a law degree and things like that, you have a felony on your record, that's not going to happen. Yeah. You know, medical school, things like that. It's kind of sad, but it's sadly, also, yeah. What the heck were you thinking?
I know. That's,
you know, yeah. There's no cocaine in Animal House. That's Animal House sets the standard for as far as you can misbehave.
Okay.
That's it.
Right.
You don't go any further than that.
Food fights, toga parties.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, leave the cocaine out of it. Yeah.
Here's the thing, okay? And I'm not going to pretend like I'm all, you know, Mr. Innocent. Uh-huh. I've been involved in a lot of things. I've lived life.
Yes,
okay? And I'm not proud of a lot of it. But the bottom line here is, you know, cocaine back in the day in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, you know, it's nothing like what's available today, and it didn't have fentanyl in it. Mm-hmm. So when you decide to be a cocaine dealer today, you are dealing in the death business. Mm-hmm. So I would say to these young men, you know, hey, go to one of your big classes where, say, you have 100 people in your class, you know, in an auditorium.
Right.
And I want you to point to the kid that you don't mind dies as a result of your cocaine selling.
Wow.
Just point to the one that you say, yeah, let's kill this kid. Because in essence, that's what you're doing now in today's environment with illicit drugs. The fentanyl is a killer, and they need to recognize that. It's it's not the 80s anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you know what I mean? First world problems. Kids have it made. You're going to Penn State. They're affluent kids.
Oh, yeah.
And
you know better.
Yeah. It's almost like, hey, you know, we're going to give those opportunities to kids that are really, you know, behaving and working hard and want it.
You really do kind of wonder what their thinking process is. Because they know it's good money. They're smart enough to know that. They're smart enough to make the connections, have their little network, have their little business going. But shouldn't you also be smart enough to look around you and go, people get caught at this every single day.
Yeah.
And they go to prison.
Yeah, but to me the big one though is the chance that you could kill one of your friends, literally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not worth it. Anyway, election results. That's your top stories. One that I thought was interesting is this is District 19 in Florida, the Republican primary. Jim Swartzel beat Catalina Loeff, and she was the one who is, you know, frankly, very, very attractive young candidate down in Southwest Florida. And she had the endorsement of President Trump, but that wasn't enough to push her over the top. And, of course, we've got a lot more results coming your way. Also, last-minute agreement with Canada on trade tariffs. That's a big deal. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.